Good morning. Today, as Justin said, we are wrapping up this series on contentment. I hope you're content with that we're finishing this series. And even just this morning, all the generosity we've seen within the congregation and what has been shared here. And as we've been singing, and as you've pointed out this verse, Justin, this verse 13, sometimes we misunderstand. We think it means I can do all things, like as if I can jump from here to there, which God could empower us to do. But it's I can do all this. So when we sing about there's enough for all, sometimes we do so in a place of deep despair. The loss, the anger, the hurt we feel. Do you understand? It's not we can do all things. It's we can be content in all circumstances. Okay, so that was all unplanned. That's extra. Let's start with dependence on God in prayer. God, we come before you, many of us in deep need, all of us in deep need for you, and some of us realizing it, and some of us not yet aware. God, I pray that you would open our ears today as a congregation to hear what you have in store for each person here, and this is way beyond our capacity as leaders to do. I pray that you would give me the words to speak this morning, that it would be clear for each person the word of encouragement you have for us today. It's in the name of Christ we pray. Amen. In the book of Acts, if you remember, early on, after Jesus died and was resurrected and was ascended, there are two people, Peter and John, who heal a lame man. Can anybody think of how they did that? If so, call it out. How did they heal a man who was lame? Anybody have an idea? They depended on Jesus. Thank you, Audrey. Yes, and others. Okay, let's go on. When the early church was forming and they didn't have enough money, how did they spread the gospel everywhere? They depended on Jesus. Well, that's interesting. So in our lives now, when our favored team on ESPN game day, who hasn't lost a game all season, loses, or when there are wars and rumors of wars, when there is brokenness and suffering in our relationships and our lives, yes, how then are we to live? They don't have any place to go. Yeah. And I want to say one more thing about depending on God before we move to generosity. There are these times where we know we need God, and these times where we just, I don't know if it's we're busy or we forget. I encourage us to get our hearts to a place where we remember we need Jesus. Because Paul, the writer of this passage, is saying it is far better to depend on Jesus. Otherwise, we're doing things in our strength and in our capacity. This is John 15. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So we can do great things. We're a skilled, gifted congregation. But if we're not depending on Jesus, it's not going to last. The other half of John 15, 5, apart from me, you can do nothing, but with me, you can bear fruit that lasts. Which do we want? In Paul's case, Well, let me back up. A few weeks ago, we had Baker Rigg here share with us about the local jail ministry. And there are some similarities to what Baker shared about and to what Paul experienced in jail. And there are some differences. In Paul's case, he is chained to another person. And he's depending on people, on his friends, to bring him food. And yet he is content in that circumstance. If I go a couple hours without eating, you would not describe me as content. We have work to do. So let's think about generosity. A week ago, I sat in a crowded room of people, and I had tears rolling down my face, and my daughter was looking at me like, "Oh, Mom," with sympathy, "Mom." We were in the Eastern Mennonite High School choir room, and we were listening and watching a video of former choirs who had traveled to Germany and the Netherlands, and they were singing exquisitely about God's love in these beautiful cathedrals. They were going to these fantastic sites in creation. They were building relationships with people there. Now, we had heard earlier in the week from Jared Stutzman. Many of you will know Jared because he's come here every May directing the Eastern Mennonite High School Choir. And he had told us in the days before this meeting that this particular meeting was a go, no-go moment. Either everybody goes on the trip because we have enough money, or nobody goes. So there was a little bit of anticipation in the room, wondering, are they going to be able to make this trip? And the funding model for the choir is a little bit unusual. I'll read to you a little bit about what he says about this. First of all, I should share that every student's family is required to give a minimum amount. And then there's another amount above that that is the cost for students to go on the trip. Okay? Here's what Jared writes about this. Some families don't have the financial means to pay the full amount of the trip cost. Some families can pledge more. So we ask you to give what you can, we tally up the results, and we see if we have enough. The first time I learned about this model from my predecessor, Mr. Hertzler, I thought he was crazy. Sometimes I still think it. But I have been amazed at the way it has worked over the years, the way that generosity and concern has paired up with genuine need. I'm still reading from him. To state the obvious, this requires trust. How do I know that my pledge is causing me a similar amount of pain as that family over there? The difference between my necessities and someone else's luxuries. Well, you can't really know that. It takes trust to believe that others are giving what they can. And in the end, I'm convinced that this funding model is more in the spirit and ethos of Turing Choir and of Jesus Christ and the bear each other's burdens focus of the early church than the alternative. So every family was to have given our pledges ahead of time, ahead of the meeting, and then we would arrive and find out if there had been enough funds raised. And Jared had told us that the choir had never raised too much money before. They'd met their amount many times, but they'd never raised too much. My heart was just racing. Would they be able to go on this trip? Well, you have to wait a little bit to find out about that. One of the things that Zion does extraordinarily well, is generosity. And I think that it is so normal to us to be generous that we don't realize how special this is. I regularly have other pastors tell me, Oh, your congregation is so generous. And for us, it's just normal. This is part of who we are, and it's God's gifting to us as a congregation. And some of us right now are saying, well, I don't really want that gift. I'd rather have another gift. No, this is the gift God has given us, and so that means God has given it to us for a purpose. And when we're in step with God's purpose, do you understand? We get to do more. We're depending on God. It's not in our strength. We're in the flow with what God has for us. So I want us to imagine that there's five large buckets across the front of the sanctuary. And each of these five different buckets represents a different way that Zion has been generous in our giving. Okay? The first bucket is our bread and butter. This is our financial mission. You'll hear more about this from stewardship over the next couple of weeks. Financial mission. This is everything from paying to tune the piano, to the stamps that we need, to any of the outreach that we do. I mean, this is just where everything comes from. It's a vital part of our ministry. Thank you for Jen. I'm just staggered that we as a congregation, we barely even talk about this. It's just the giving is always so generous. Thank you. The next bucket. Next bucket is all of the special things that come up in a year that we did not know about when we were creating our financial mission. These are things like the Soil and the Seed Project and helping Getch and other individuals. This is sending money for wells to Africa through MCC. These are extra things, and you all blow me away with your generosity. It's such a gift. Okay, next one. Next bucket of how we give is through our time and through our talents, through our service. There was a pastor that told me recently, just to try to put it in perspective of how unique it is at Zion, where people just serve. I had a person, I haven't checked with this person ahead of time, so I won't say their name, but they emailed me in the past week saying, I would love to start serving in this way and in this way. And guess what? It was a way that I had had on my heart for God to minister through us, and I hadn't gotten to it yet to figure out how we were going to do this. And this person emails me and says, I'd like to start doing this. Do you see? Okay, so dependent on God. So the other pastor recently was sharing how it has been 10 years in their congregation since they have had what would be a chair of the congregational leadership team. 10 years since they've had a chair. So he's been doing it. At Zion, that would be like we just, it's so much a part of our culture for leaders to just step up. You are so generous in this way, and it is vital to who we are and to how God serves through us. Okay, let's go to the next one. Oh, the bequests. I forgot about naming these bequests. The bequests that have been given to Zion, especially in the past several years, have transformed the way we have been able to function as a congregation. They've meant that when unexpected things come up in the building, we're able to take care of those. It means that because people have been generous to us, we are now able to be generous in new and exciting ways, in step with what God is already doing in the community. The last way I'll mention of the buckets is giving to organizations outside the congregation. So this is Mennonite Disaster Service and Highland Retreat and all the other organizations that we care about and love and want to be part of supporting. So there's these five buckets out front. And that got me thinking about, I'm going to jump ahead. I've got my, you all talking about depending on God. I've got three or four notes up here of things I may or may not add into my sermon. You all know I'm a planner. My sermon's prepared. It's there. And yet God is saying, step away from it. Be intentional with me in the moment. So I'm working to do that. You see this. Depending on God is not easy. I trust you can see. Like this is, it's the same emotion of anxiety and nervousness, but it's also the same thing as fun. It's the same thought. It's the same energy. So I could be nervous about it, but I'm excited because God is in it and leading us. So it reminds me of this story from, I think it's Mark 12. Jesus, let's picture him back here. And he is watching people bringing in their offering. They called it the treasury. And I think there were seven different places where people could put their money. So in Jesus' day, there were seven. We've got five. That's fine. So Jesus is watching as the people come in and they're placing their money in. And scripture says that the rich and the wealthy people came and they threw their money in. Just, I don't know if it was sloppy. I don't know if it was haphazard. I don't know if it even went into the bucket. Like, they're just throwing their money in. Just not intentional. And then along comes a poor widow. And she reaches in her pockets and she pulls out two very small coins, the smallest value. And she places them in. What Jesus says about her is that she gave everything she had to live on. She was dependent on God. Everything she had to live on, that means she's not living on the money. She's living on Jesus, depending on God. When I was preparing the sermon this week, normally I like to have my sermon pretty well in hand by Tuesday. And Tuesday comes along and I didn't have anything written. And I thought, you know, that's okay. I'm preaching about depending on God. Like, that's fine. Well, it'll come together tomorrow. That's good. And you can guess where this is going. Wednesday I had nothing written. And I thought, well, I'm behind. I'm usually ahead at this point, but that's okay. There's time. It'll come together tomorrow. It's fine. And Thursday, when I had nothing written, I had a little come apart, a little meltdown of sorts. I lost my dependence on God. And on Friday, I didn't feel the emotions of faith, but I practiced the habit. Practice the habit of depending on God, of praying, of reading scripture, of worshiping. So at what point do we say, God, this is my limit? And God wants to stretch us way beyond what our limits are. I was saying, I need to have my sermon written by Thursday. We also say, I need this amount of money in my bank account. Several weeks ago, my husband Mike and I started giving more to church because we don't want our limits to limit God. I don't want to give carelessly. I want to give intentionally and generously. I'm picking and choosing which last things to share with you. One of the important things to note is that this passage links together generosity, contentment, and dependence on God. Generosity is how we practice contentment, and it's empowered by our depending on God. I'm reminded by a time, how many years ago, maybe 2006, when many of us were gathered downstairs in the old fellowship hall, and we were talking about whether or not to build this building and the beautiful addition that we have. And John Stauffer stood up and said something like, "Are we people of faith?" And that has shaped not just our congregation, but many others who are using this space and ministering because of this space. I'll share two more things from this passage. Verse 10 says, "I rejoiced greatly in the Lord." that at last you renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you were concerned, here it is, you had no opportunity to show it. Zion, we now have an opportunity to show our generosity. In the next year, there will be many more people here retiring who will have less ability to give generously as they have in the past. We have an opportunity through our generosity, through our depending on God, through our contentment, to be part of something bigger that God wants to do through us. There are seasons where we can give more, and there are seasons where we give less. And I want to say too, I am content with whatever happens, right? We can be content in whatever our giving is because we're depending on God. We're not depending on the resources. And it's not a matter of you do you. We're in this together. We're a church family. So you may be wondering, like what Mr. Stutzman had written about to parents, how do we know if my giving is as sacrificial as someone else's? Well, we don't know that. It takes trust and dependence on God. For the choir, it looks like for the first time ever, there was more raised than what was needed. What if that happened in the church? So why does all this matter? Well, think about Jesus watching people bringing their money to the treasury. Think about Epaphroditus making the long trip from Philippi to where Paul is, carrying this large sum of money. Think about how we have a treasure in us, Christ Jesus, that we get to share. Part of why Jesus came was to proclaim good news to the poor and to proclaim freedom for the captives, like Paul in prison. Content in all circumstances because he depends on Jesus. We are called for a purpose. We have been given this gift of generosity for a purpose. Let's trust God beyond the limits that we have set, beyond our timetables. And reverently respond with generosity. Thanks be to God.